My wife thought that was pretty funny.
All right, well, so good morning. Let's begin. So we left off today's daf is Ayin Vav. A lot to do today. We left off Ayin Hey Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we left off actually Mamish last line. Dover Acher. We were speaking about the man in yesterday's daf. Dover Acher Lechem Avirim Achal Ish. What does it mean when it calls the man a Lechem Avirim that a man ate? Top of Ayin Vav. Zeh Yehoshua. Who is the Ish over here? This refers to Yehoshua. Sheyarad lo man kineged kol Yisrael. It's quite beautiful that the Gemara says that Yehoshua was given as much man. His portion of man corresponded to the portion of all of Klal Yisrael. Obviously, employing a little bit of hyperbole over here. What is Yehoshua going to do with all of that man? But the idea is apparently Yehoshua was privileged to receive an extra portion of man. How do we know this? Ksiv hacha ish. It says over here, ish by lechem avirim achal ishu ksiv hasam. And it says over there, kach lachas Yehoshua benun ish asher ruach bo. So it calls, so it says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak, take Yehoshua benun, a man whose spirit is within him. So we see again, it says ish over here, and therefore the Gemara assumes that the lechem avirim achal ish, the bread of the nobility, the bread of the angels was eaten by the man, refers to Yehoshua. So the Gemara says, I, but ve'ima Moshe, maybe ish refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, the chsiv, the ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, ha'ish Moshe, the man Moshe, was very humble. To which the Gemara says, that's fine, but done in ish me'ish, ve'im done in ish me'ish, the ha'ish. Both in general, when making a gzeir shava, if possible, we like to use exactly similar words. Only if we can't do that, do we use words that have the same root. So although, so by Yehoshua it says ish ish, it says ish, and by Moshe Rabbeinu it says ha'ish. Therefore, we'd rather make the Gzeir Shava from Ish Ish to Ish Ha'ish. Shalu, we'll say this is a beautiful Gemara. Really. Shalu Tamidav, even the room became lighter as a result. So Shalu Tamidav, Es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So the students asked their Rabbi Rashbi, Mipnei ma lo yarad lahem li Yisrael man, apam man pam achas b'shana. We'll say such a good kasha. Why did God have to give us man every single day? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just give us man once a year? Give us supplies for once a year. Oh. But so this is how beautiful this is. Amar lahem. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said to them, Em shalachem mashal ma'adav adom. Let me give you a mashal. L'melech basar v'adam sheyesh lo ben echad. Compared to a king who has one son. Pasuk lo mizonosav. Pam achas b'shana. The king would give his students an allowance. Excuse me. Give his son an allowance once a year. Mizonos. He would give him everything he needed once a year. So what happened? How often did the son visit his father? Once a year. What happens? Amadu pasak mizonosav b'choyom v'hayu makvil p'nei aviv kol yom. So what happens? The father decided, you know what? I'm going to give you a daily allowance. And amazingly enough, what occurred? The son came to visit every single day. Af Yisrael. So too, Klal Yisrael, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mi sheyesh lo arba'a v'chamisha banim. Somebody who had four or five children. Hayadoig va'omer. We spoke about this before. You know, nighttime came. The man is used up. And somebody who has a family, it begins to worry. And they say, Shema lo yered man lamachar. And we'll say, you could say that a person would be worried even if they didn't have a family. All right, as every parent knows, in a doma, the worry that you have for yourself versus the worry that you have for your children. All right, you worry about yourself. You'll fall asleep. But the notion that perhaps your children won't have food the next day, won't have. So a person with the kishkas would be in a knot. Va'omer, shema lo yered malamachar. V'nimtzu kulam meisim rav. Chas shalom ei, my family will die of starvation. Nimtzu kulam mechuvanim es libam la'avin shabash shamayim. And therefore it turned out that what happened every day for Klal Yisrael, they would direct their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah Yochai was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out the man day by day in order what? In order to create a relationship with Klal Yisrael. Granted, it is a very basic relationship, as God is the provider, as God is the sustainer, but almost a necessary evolution in their recognition and appreciation of God. Remember, they have nothing. They're starting from the ground level. Although they saw all these amazing miracles, they're working on building a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you to know that you're connected to me each and every day. I can say it, but more importantly than saying it, it has to actively be a part of the fabric of your daily life. Therefore, man falls every single day, in order to keep the people connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dover Acher, another possibility. Shayu Ochlin Osa Kishulchan. Another is actually very interesting. If it would have fallen once year, Rabbi said, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, you'd have to reheat. Right? You'd have to reheat. Part of the miracle of the month is that it fell ready to eat every single day. I'm sorry, spiritual, correct. It's actually interesting. The Marsha, we'll see there are actually three answers over here. Look at the next one. Davar Achar, Mipnei Masui Haderech. Right, third possibility is because there would have been a lot to carry. It's a lot to travel. So we'll say it's very interesting. So correct, we go from the relationship, ultimately to two very practical ideas. But again, even in the second answer, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them hot food. Why? That's also to create a sense of connection. I love you. What's the best way to demonstrate love? Right? See, the biggest mistake people make in relationships is that they think that they could demonstrate their love to their partner by going ahead and doing the things that they're obligated to do. Right? Just like you never say that you're babysitting for your kids. Right. Very bad idea. Very bad idea. You're both really babysitting for the kids. Right? And now your kids. I mean, I never did this, but I'm just saying others, rookie mistake. Others have made this mistake. Right? Or again, when you try, I did the shabby, I did this. When does love really come out? Love often comes out in the gestures that go above and beyond. Right? There are things that I have to do, but there are things I don't have to do, but I choose to do. That's ultimately a beautiful expression of love. When HaKadosh Baruch says, I'm going to give you hot food, doesn't need to do that. What is it? I mean, it's man, whatever. But he does it because it's an expression of love. In the third one, it's also an expression of love, but it's not as intense. It's a little bit more utilitarian and practical in nature. I don't want you schlepping it around. What happened, Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Shmuel, the Zakinim are sitting and discussing the parsha of the man. Rabbi Elazar Hamodi'i Yoshev Beinayim. And Rabbi Elazar Hamodi'i was sitting between them. Na'ana Rabbi Eliezer Hamodi'i Va'am. Rabbi Elazar Hamodi'i said the following. Man Shiara Lehen Yisrael Haya Gavoyim Shishim Amo. So says Rabbi Elazar Hamodi'i says that when the man fell, it was piled up 60 amos high. 60 amos high. So we'll say, you'll do the math. If an amo is about a foot and a half, so is that 90 feet up in the air. Okay. Amudar bitarfon. Modi, ad masay ata megaviv dvarim, umevi alenu. So Rabbi Tarfon didn't like this. And he said, he called him Modi, which was Lubavashtach also. Modi, when are you going megaviv? Now we'll say, if you look at the Mesoras Asha, see there's a little base there. Megaviv means lekoshesh kash. When are you going to keep gathering stuff? Like he was accusing him of like just gathering random information. When are you going to keep gathering random stuff and just dumping it on us? Which is another way of saying, I'm not sure I quite agree with what you said. Amarlo Rebbe Mikra Nidorej. So Rabbi Elazar Modi said, Rebbe, I have to tell you, I'm dashing a pasuk. What's the pasuk? It's very interesting. So the Torah says by the Mabul that the waters fell 15 amos and they covered the mountains. V'chi chamesh esrei ama be'emek, chamesh esrei b'shvela, chamesh esrei b'harim, uv'chi mayim, maya, shuri, shuri, kaimi, Rabbi Osei. So now, Rabbi Osei says like this, says the water was 15 amos on top of the world. What's the problem? The problem with that is, makes it sound like the world is flat, and there's 15 amos of water. 15 amos of water will look one way by the valleys, another way by the mountains. So literally, when he says v'chi maya shuri shuri, are the waters like walls? Meaning, when you give this measurement, how does that measurement stim with the fact that the earth is not a flat surface? So the Gemara says va'od teva hechi sagya. Furthermore, how exactly, if it's only 15 amos from the ground level, from the, we'll call it the flat earth level, then how exactly was the Teva able to float? What about the mountains? Look at Rashi. Teva hechi sagya, hech atzma, hech also, excuse me, l'Rashi Aharim. How was the Teva able to go above the mountains? Go back to the Gemara. Ella, here's what happened. Nifku kol ma'ayonos tom. We'll say what happened. In the beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mabul, the depth, Tahom represents the depths, right? So the water contained within the earth, Tahom, all the springs of the Tahom opened up. Ada ashvu maya bahadituri. So we'll say the first step in the Mabul was that the springs within the earth in the Tahom opened up, and the entire earth was filled with water, meaning that water covered the entire earth. So that water extended even to the top of the highest mountains. So the earth was totally submerged. And then what happens? The hunter, Chameshesre Amamilamala Gavrahamai. And then after the earth was totally submerged, what happened? So the Rebbe said, that's not from rain wars. That's from what they call the wars of the Tehom. Then what happened? There was additional rainfall that caused an additional 10 amos of water to pile up on top of that. So watch this. So now here's what we have. We have the earth is covered by water, right? We call it the earth's surface is covered by water, including to the top of the mountains, by the waters of the Tehom. Rain waters come along again and add an extra 15 amos of water on top of that. Now watch this. In general, which divine attribute comes in greater quantity? The midah of good or the midah of punishment? Of course, it's the midah of good. It's klal. That midah tova meruba midah saporonos. That HaKadosh Baruch, whenever God bestows good, good is always bestowed in greater quantity than negativity. The midas paranos for Omer, Rabos, I remember, by the midah, by the punishment, by the mabul, it says, Va'arubos ha-shamayim niftichu. It says that the windows of Shamayim were opened. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Actually, look at the previous Rashi, Meruba. Rabba al-Khaverta, we're saying now that the midah of good eclipses the midah of bad. He says, "Meruba alaroch chamish amos." Excuse me, alaroch chamish amos ba shemida tov neemar notzeh chesed la'alofim uvemidas poranos uomer al shileshim va'aribeim. So I'll say again. For example, when it comes to the bestowing of good, so the Torah says la'alofim. La'alofim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay the good that someone does for thousands of generations to come. And yet, for the negativity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only visits that on what? Shileshim and Rebeim, only third and fourth generation. So we see from here, there's a biblical proof to this idea that midah tova meruba amida poronos. So now the Gemara says the following. Look at the next Rashi. He says, "B'midas poronos u'omer va'arubos hashmaim lo yorod mabul eladarash terubos." So the Torah says over here that the flood waters, the rain waters, came from the windows of the heaven. Va'arubos hashamayim niftichu, b'mida tovahu omer, and yet by good, by the midah of good, it says, Va'itzav, also this pasuk is here from Tehillim, Va'itzav shechokim mimal, v'dalse shamayim pasach. Literally, he commanded shechokim, we'll see what that means in just a little bit, but he commanded the blessing to come down, v'dalte shamayim pasach, he opened up the doors of the heavens, Vayamter alehem man lechol, v'dogon shamayim nasan lo. So we'll say here the pasuk in Tehillim. So just keep this in mind. By the mabul it says he opened up the window. By the man it says that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the doors of shamayim. Kama arubos yesh padeles. How many windows are there in a door? Arba. There are eight, there are four. Meaning it was like, I guess in Talmudic doors, you had the space in the door to be able to put four windows. So one door is approximately the space of four windows. And what happens? There are two doors in that Pasuk in Tehillim representing the bounty from above. Hari Kan Shmona. Nimtza, so we'll say, now watch this. If a window was opened in Shamayim, and that allowed the waters to fall down, and they were what? There were 15 amos. There were 15 amos ultimately of water, of rain. Then Lemaisa again, four times that will be the 60. That's where again Hari Kan Shmona v'nimtza man shir l'Yisrael gavoa shishim ama. So I'll say again. So obviously, let's be clear on something. Rabbi Elazar HaModi'i is not necessarily trying to make a compelling, you know, intellectual argument, right? Remember this whole idea that it was 15. He's trying to make a point. And the point that he's trying to make is, if this is the amount of rainfall that came out of windows in the heavens, can you imagine ultimately the amount of bounty that came out when the doors themselves were open? If the doors were open, we can only imagine what came down. Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda says, Mon sheyara lehem liyisrael, hayem miskaber va'oda atshron osa komal chen izrach. So we'll say along the same lines, Isi ben Yehuda says that the mud would pile up, the mud would pile up to the point that all of the kings in the eastern kingdoms, eastern and western kingdoms, would see the mud. Literally, the kings would themselves, they would see the mud from a distance. But Shana Emar, the pasuk as well, says it's so beautiful. Ta'aruch lefanai shulchan neged tzorirai. So beautiful. The Gemara says, this is what David HaMelech says. Set before me a table in full view of my adversaries. That's what David HaMelech said. Kadosh Baruch, you know, once upon a time, you went ahead and you allowed the nations of the world to see the blessing that you convey upon your people. You piled it up and everyone saw it. Set that table for me as well in front of my enemies. Amar Abaye, Shmami Na, excuse me, he adds it over here, although the Masoras Tashas takes it out, Kosire Vayo. My cup overflows. Amar Abaye, Shmami Na, Kaso de David li Alma de Asi. Learn from here that the cup of King David, the cup of David HaMelech in the world to come, which we'll say in this context of world to come, you would probably mean messianic era, Mosa Mashiach. He says, Masan ve'esrin ve'chad luga. Holds 221 lug. Shene emar, kosi rivayo. Rivayo bigimatria hachihavi. So we'll say rivayo in gematria is 221. And therefore, lemaise, again, it would appear that the cup of David HaMelech in Yemos HaMashiach will hold 221 lugin. Obviously, I'll say there's a lot more to speak about all of these things, but you'll have to, it's a serious course. Okay, weiter. Hallo Damia. So we'll say the Gemara goes back for a second to the Mun Mabul, the Mun Mabul comparison. It says it doesn't make sense. See, what the Gemara wanted to, what Rabbi Lazar Hamodi wanted to suggest was that the Mun piled up 60 amos on the basis of the fact that the water, which only came out of one window, piled up 15 amos. So the Gemara says it doesn't make sense. Hasam arba'in yomin, hacha chadashaita. First of all, the rainwater fell over a course of 40 days, and the month fell in one day. Furthermore, Hasam Lukoli Amo, Hachali Yisrael. We'll say, see, here's the interesting part. The interesting part is the measurements don't make sense. Meaning, if the waters fell 15 amos, but it was dispersed over the face of the entire world. The mun fell on a much smaller space, which means that if it's true that it's falling out of four windows, then Lemaisa, it should be piled much higher than 60 amos. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Hamodi, psicha gamar. To which the Gemara answers, listen, Rabbi Lazar Hamodi is just making a gzera shava to yield a homiletic idea. Look at Rashi, psicha gamar. Ma psicha amura ba'arubos ha-mabul tesvav lebeiz arubos. Just like by the mabul, there were 15 amos for two windows. Af psicha ha-amura bedalto saman tesvav amal l'chol beiz arubos. So to again, I'm sorry, by the way, I realized I said this wrong before. I said it right. Right. So therefore, again, what he's saying over here is psich is making gzera shava. So by the mabul, it was 15 amos for two windows. So too, again, by the mun, you have also 15 amos for two windows, and you have eight windows. I'm sorry, that's what I said wrong. It wasn't four windows. It was eight windows. Because, did I say that? Okay, two doors, four windows each. They're opening up eight windows, 60 amos. Okay, thank you. So essentially, the Gemara is answering over here. He says, psicha. He's making a gzer shava ultimately between the two psukim. And what Blessed Madi is saying is, you don't have to get all that caught up in the technical details of this gzer shava. Because I'm just trying to make a point to you over here. That the same way the Gzer Shavah teaches you, that the same way that the rain fell in incredible quantities, the mud fell in incredible quantities as well. Asr Bachir, we'll say back to the Aloch a little bit. So remember the Gemara says, it speaks about the Inuyim, the afflictions on Yom Kippur, that one is not permitted to engage in various different activities. So the Mishnah says you can't eat. Hani Chamisha Inuyim Kinegen Mi. Now, where do we get the idea that on Yom Kippur there are five afflictions? So the Gemara says, it says the word inui, affliction, five times in the Torah. So in each of these psukim that the Gemara discusses, the Torah uses the lashon of inui. Torah's lashon of affliction. So the Gemara understands the fact that the Torah mentions affliction five times indicates that what? That Lamaisa, there are five types of inuit, five types of affliction on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara says, one second. Hani chamisha hava va'anan shisa tanan. But we have six in our Mishnah, right? So we'll say again, remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah spoke about achila, eating, shtia, drinking, rechitza, washing, sicha, anointing with oil, ni'ilas, a sandal, wearing shoes, tashmishamita, relations. So why are you telling me five? There are really six. To which the Gemara answers, oh, I'll tell you why. Shtia, bichlal, achila. Because eating and drinking are counted as the same. Drinking is not reckoned independently. Drinking is part of eating. The Amrei Shlakish, minayin, shtia, excuse me, minayin, the shtia, shei bichlal, achila. Because Rish Lakish says, how do we know that in general, that drinking is included in the sheer, is included in the concept of eating? So the Gemara says, Shneamar, v'achalt lefnei Hashem lekecha, the Torah says, you shall eat before Hashem your God. Ma'aser degancha, tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. The Gemara says, this is by Ma'aser Sheni. It's by Ma'aser Sheni, you have to take your tithe, and what? You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So what does the Torah say? You shall eat before Hashem your God, the Ma'aser of your grain, your tirosh, now we'll see what tirosh means in just a little bit, and yitzrecha. So Gemara says, tirosh chamru. What is tirosh? Tirosh is wine. And yet, what do you see from your Rabbosai? Vikari leva achelto. So the pasuk says, you shall eat. And we see clues in eating includes the consumption of wine. So the Gemara says, one second, Mimaya, how do you know that? How do you know that tirosh means wine? Vidilma da achli al yide anigron. I will say, maybe when it talks about the consumption of wine over here, it means that you're eating the wine in a nigron. Now, what's a nigron? The Amar Rava bar Shmuel, a nigron, maya de salka. A nigron is water of cooked vegetables. Well, so I guess like a vegetable soup. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, a nigron min ma'achol. This is a type of food. Shinosnin bo yayin. They used to put wine in it. Ubekam makomo shaninu betosos. A nigron ba asigron shinosnin bo yayin b'shem. We'll say, look at the next line in Ragi Gemara. So a nigron maya de silka. A nigron ultimately is water in which vegetables were cooked. Achsigron mayit de kulush shalki. And achsigron is similar, and it includes all different types of cooked vegetables. So mostly what is interesting over here is the following. The Gemara is suggesting, maybe when we speak about the eating of wine, it's how you're putting the wine into this anigron. And I will say, so what is the anigron? What is it essentially? It's soup. So it's liquid. But here's what's interesting. You don't drink soup. You eat soup, right? I don't think so. I don't think people say they drink soup. Mm-hmm. People say they eat soup. So soup, although it's a liquid, is consumed. It's achila. So you are suggesting maybe when the Torah speaks about consumption by wine, it's speaking about wine, and people would often put wine into this vegetable soup.
It can fill you up.
Yeah. I mean,
what? Wine can fill you up too.
Mamish. It's like a meal. Are you honestly with diet? Okay. It's going to be a support group that's going to be after the shir. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that maybe when it speaks about eating of wine, it's eating of wine in a nikron. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Meal. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, the truth is, we learn out the fact that drinking is included in the act of eating from the following pasuk. T'chsiv, the book says, Mehacha, V'nasata ha-kesef v'chol asher tavan afshecha. You shall, again, Rav says, this is also by money. This is also by Meister Sheni, excuse me. That if you take your Meister Sheni and you redeem it with money, L'maisa again, you can go ahead and redeem it for whatever you want. V'chol asher tavan afshecha, ba-bakar u-batzon, ba-yayin u-ba-shechar. You can go ahead and use it for whatever you want. Bakar, tzon, yayin, shechar. So what do you see from here, Rabosai? Shtiyahi, v'kari rachmana v'achalta. So Rabosai, again, the Pasuk again says over here, v'achalta shom lefnei Hashem alokecha. So Rabosai, you see once again, the Torah groups yayin, shechar, along with other food items, bakar, tzon. And therefore you see from here that shtiyah is b'chalachir. Rabosai, remember, don't lose sight of what we're trying to do. We're trying to accomplish over here. We're trying to show. We just said before that the Mishnah lists six different inuyim. But yet, the Gemara said that there are really only five different types of affliction. How do we reconcile those two? Simple. We want to say that shtia is bichlal achila. That drinking is under the umbrella of eating. So now we have to demonstrate that. So the Gemara is suggesting over here in the Ma'aser Sheni Pasuk, the fact that the Torah groups together eating and drinking and calls that all v'achalta l'fnei Hashem elokecha indicates that what? That lemaisa again, the act of drinking is included in eating. So the Gemara says, why don't you say v'dilma hachanami da'achle aydi anigron? I maybe same thing over here that you're eating it with a anigron. To which the Gemara says shechar ksiv midi demeshkar. No, because the Torah says shechar and shechar what Rabosai? Shechar is something that it could intoxicate a person. And what's interesting about Rabosai is the assumption is that wine that is drunk within food, like in a Negron or a Xigron, does not intoxicate. So the fact that Tosafot has the ability to intoxicate indicates that it's being consumed in its own original form. This is one second. The Dilma, the Vela Keilis. I will say, maybe it's referring to, is interesting. There were these Keilis figs. So Keilis figs apparently had a type of intoxicating effect when you eat these figs. So maybe if you're going to tell me that we're talking about food that can intoxicate, maybe it's not wine. Maybe it's the Vela Keilis. The Sanya, Achol the Vela Keilis. If you ate, this is about talking about a coin. If you ate Devela Keilis, or Shasa Dvash, or you drank honey, or Chalav, or you drank milk, V'nichnas L'mikdash Chayiv. And you went into the Mikdash, and what it really means over here is, you went into the Mikdash and you did the Avoda. You did the Avoda, you're Chayiv. We'll say, what are you Chayiv for? L'maisa, again, you'd be Chayiv for, you know, sacrificing under the influence. It's an S-U-I. S-U-I. You get the, right? So what happens? So the idea over here is that these items have the ability to intoxicate. It's actually interesting. Milk also is fascinating. Again, it could be that their processing was different. It puts you to sleep. So the Gemara also will say, understand that nobody's drinking skim milk in those days. Yeah. Right? Mamish, this was like the real, this was like, it's probably whole milk plus. It's probably more like cream, if anything else. So the Gemara says the following, Ella, Yolif Sheikhar Sheikhar. So we'll say, remember, we're still trying to figure out, so how do we know that shtia is bechlal achila? To which the Gemara says, you're right. So rather, el yolif sheikhar sheikhar mi nazir. Rather, no, we'll say, so now we're going to do something a little bit more complicated. We're going to learn out gzera shava of sheikhar sheikhar from nazir. Now, what is the gzera shava between? It's the gzera shava between maiser sheni and nazir. And to say what? Ma lahalan yayin, just like by nazir, sheikhar means wine, afkan yayin. So to over here, it means wine. So we'll say, so therefore, the way we make that limo, therefore, is what? Therefore, it says sheikhar by nazir, sheikhar by maaser sheni, just like sheikhar by nazir means wine. So to sheikhar by maaser sheni also means wine, and therefore what? And the maaser, therefore, by maaser sheni, we see that sheikhar is grouped together with bakar and so on. It's all called achalta, and therefore that teaches us that shtia bechlal achila. Samar just says an aside, but tirosh chamru. Are you telling me, by the way, that tirosh is wine? But we learned, hanoda mina tirosh, if one makes a neder to abstain from tirosh, asra b'chol mine mesika, he is prohibited to eat all types of sweet things. And we'll say what the Gemara means over here by sweet things. Rashi says, asra b'chol mine mesika, the peros chadoshim b'tapuchim ba'anovim. What does it refer to? Fresh fruit. He can't eat grapes, he can't eat apples. So what do you see from here? That umutr b'yayin. So you see from here what Rabbi say? That's what? That tirosh is not wine. That tirosh is fruit, sweet fruit. So the Gemara says, one second, who is that possible? That tirosh doesn't mean wine. V'haksiv, the tirosh novav besulos. Rabbi say, quite literally, it means that tirosh will bring forth like besulos, like virgins. Now Rabbi say, what does that mean? So look at Rashi for just a moment. He says, v'tirosh novav besulos, zeyayin tov. Now what does it mean? That the wine will bring forth like a besula. Rashi says, zeyayin tov. This tirosh refers to good wine. Shumishakir asa adam. It could make a person a little bit leibedig. And what happens? Legale sisrei libos hatumim ki besula. It could cause him to reveal hidden things like a basula. We'll say, just like a basula is, so to speak, closed off. She does not engage in intimacy. So too, we often have many things that are closed off as well. But a little bit of wine seems to open up the chamber of secrets. So the Gemara says, Dover habomina tirosh nove basulas. Oh, maybe what it means when it says tirosh is what? Something that comes from tirosh can open up the secret. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting over here, what's something that comes from tirosh? That would be a reference to wine. So the Gemara suggests that maybe over here the Ma'isa Tirosh doesn't mean wine, but Tirosh means fruit. V'oksiv ay, but it's the Pasuk says, Gemara is over here quoting the Pasuk from Mishlei. V'tirosh yikavecha yifrotsu. Literally, the Tirosh will burst forth from your vats. So the Gemara says again, I will say that would seem to indicate wine. Maybe not. Davar haba minat tirosh yikavecha yifrotu. Maybe that which comes from the tirosh. So most of the Gemara is just suggesting over here that tirosh means grapes and not the wine itself. I v'haksiv znus v'yayin v'tirosh yikachlev. I, but it says Rabosai, immorality Wine and tirosh will consume the heart of man. But also, like, clearly over here, tirosh cannot mean grapes. Tirosh has to mean something that has the ability to inebriate. Elo dekoli alma tirosh chamrahu. I'll say you're right. In reality, tirosh means wine. Tirosh means wine. But what happens? Ubenidarim halach achra loshav b'nadav. I'll say it's very interesting. Remember, where did this whole problem get started? It's very interesting. This whole problem got started where? By saying that lemaisa, if a person makes a neder not to partake of tirosh, so what can't he eat? He can't eat sweet fruit. So what do you see from here? That tirosh doesn't mean wine, it means sweet fruit, which the Gemara finally says, no. Understand, nedarim are a different animal. What happens to us in the parasha of nedarim? We go what we call basar lashon b'nei adam. What does that mean? That when it comes to a neder, we look not necessarily as to the etymological root of a word, but what do we look at? What do we look at? It's usage. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, it could be that people often use tirosh in a very loose way. People often use the word tirosh to mean what? To mean fruit. Is that its true etymological meaning? The answer is no. Tirosh means wine. Rabbo said, therefore, again, we are on good standing over here. Because Lamaisa, again, going back, what we have over here is the following. We have over here that we have, by the Pasuk of Maaser Sheni, the Torah says, now, actually, here's what we have over here so far. We have, so far, the Pasuk from Maaser Sheni, which groups Shechar. We made a Gzer Shav of Shechar, from Maaser Sheni to Nazir, to say that just like by Nazir it means wine, so by Maaser Sheni it means wine, and what? And by Maaser Sheni it groups together, Shechar, together with Achila. Therefore, we see Shtia Bechlal Achila. Therefore, again, we understand that although the Mishnah lists six different afflictions, it really only refers to what? Five different categories. Now we also understand that the word tirosh does in fact mean wine, except perhaps by nedarim, where it could be a little bit more inclusive of fruits as well. Now the Gemara says, va'amai kari le'yayin, va'amai kari le'tirosh. Why are there two different words for the same thing? Why do we call wine yayin, and why do we call wine tirosh? So this is something amazing. Yayin, shemevi yilala li'olam. Why is it called yayin? Because it brings wailing, mostly not with an H, right, but W-A-I, right? So again, it brings wailing to the world. Now, what's the pshat? Look at this, actually very profound. Rashi says, Shemevi Yolala, Ayidei Hayayin Rav Hanyuf Uporonos Baliolam. We'll say wine, a lot of wine, gets people into trouble, right? Again, if you remember, the famous Gemara Sechas Sota, as to why the Torah juxtaposes the parasha of Sota to the parasha of Nazir, to say that Skala Roa Sota Bikilkula, whoever sees Sota in the state of disrepair, Yazir Atzma Minayam. It's almost as if Chazal assume that wherever people get themselves into significant trouble, specifically with morality, usually there is wine involved. So why is it called Yayin? Because maybe Yalala, it brings wailing, it brings moaning, it brings ultimately crying to the world because people get themselves into such trouble. Tirosh, this is also amazing. Why is it called Tirosh? Shakala Miskarebo Naaserash. I will say this is amazing. Because anyone who gets too drawn after the wine will become poor. I will say, what does that mean? That Chas V'Shalom person becomes too addicted to the wine, too addicted to the alcohol, they can Chas V'Shalom spend all of their money feeding that habit. Rav Kana Ramiksib, Rav Kana contrasted Psukim. On one hand it says Tirosh, the Karina Tirosh. I will say again, the letters themselves, when vocalized, just look like tirash, but yet we read it as tirosh. What's the pshat? What's this amazing? Zocha naaserosh. If a person is zocha, I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Zocha lishtos lefi mida. If you drink just enough, naaserosh, you will be made ahead. I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Naaserosh shemefakech libuchavros. It is an amazing idea. A little bit of wine, or I should say even not a little bit, but wine in moderation, used in the right way. Wine is a very powerful tool. How is it very powerful? Because also, if consumed in the right quantities, gives a person an incredible amount of clarity. Also, this is an incredible yisod, that a good amount of wine, besides the health benefits of it, but a good amount of wine actually goes ahead and is able to take some of the edge off of life, which is an allowed person to think in a more coherent way. You see, we often assume that alcohol impairs judgment. Yes, a lot of alcohol impairs judgment. But Chazal understood that the right amount of alcohol could actually give a person a clarity to be able to think things through in a more clear fashion. So zacha, if you use it correctly, na'aserosh, it could be very beneficial. You can get ahead. Lo zacha, excuse me, lo zacha na'aserash. If you, however, misuse it, you will become impoverished. V'hainu d'rava, so he says, Rami k'siv, so also on one hand, the pasuk says, Yishmach or Yishamach, v'karinon Yismach. So we'll say again, remember, Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh. So again, you can read it, Yishmach, you can read it with the shin, you can read it with the sin. Zocha Misamcho. Rabbi say, if you use wine in the right way, it could give you incredible happiness. Lo Zocha, however, if you use it inappropriately, Mishamimo, it could leave you desolate. V'hainu da'amar Rava, this is what Rabbi used to say, Chamra v'reichani pikchin. Rava said, there are two things that I attribute my wisdom to, wine and sweet-smelling spices. I both say, because there are certain things that a person needs to restore a little bit of equilibrium in life, so a sweet smell, a glass of wine, those are the kind of things that can make a person a little bit more even-keeled to be able to make the right decisions in life. The Gemara goes weiter. Rechitza v'sicha minavah. So we'll say, now here's what we've established. So we've successfully established that shtia is bechlal achila, right? That drinking is including it. Now the Gemara says, rechitza v'sicha, we're going down the list. How do I know that washing and anointing with oil are prohibited on Yom Kippur? Minavah de'ikra inui. How do I know that they're considered to be an affliction? Dechsiv lechem chamudos lo'achalti. Ubasar vayayin lo ba'alpi, v'soch lo sachti. We'll say this is by Daniel. So Daniel is saying that while he was in the king's palace, he denied himself certain pleasures. My lechem chamudos lachalti. What does it mean? I didn't eat lechem chamudos. Literally, choicey bread, choicest bread. What does it mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, Brei Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, afilu nama dechiti dechaisa lo achal. I didn't even eat wheat bread or wheat from, or should say bread from refined wheat. And I will say, no one's going to argue that eating bread from refined wheat is a delicacy. That's not a delicacy. What Daniel's saying, I even abstain from basic pleasures. And how do we know that anointing oneself with oil, or I should say, refraining from anointing with oil is considered to be an affliction. Dechsev, Vayomer Eli, I will say, this is when the Malach Gavriel spoke to Daniel. The Malach said to me, Al tira Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Ki min hayom harishon, asher nasata es libecha lahavin, from the day that you placed your heart on the stand, ulhis'anos lifnei ha'elokecha, nishmu divarecha, from the day that you decided to dedicate your heart to understand, to literally afflict yourself before Hashem, your God. Nishma'u divarecha va'ani basi bidvarecha ki chamudos ata. So we'll say again, the Gemara's understanding over here that lehis'anos lefonai does not refer to eating. Lehis'anos lefonai refers to something else, actually Tosfos on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. In the last line there says, elavade asicha koi shalohayasach klal. Tosfos understands that the inui that Gavriel is referring to over here is that Daniel did not anoint himself with oil. So we see over here that eating is called inui. We see over here that anointing oneself with oil is called inui. Rechitza minalan. How do we know that not washing is called inui? Amrav Zutra Bartuvia Amakra, the Pasuk says, Amakra, Vatavo Kamayim Bikirbo, Ukishemen Ba'atz Mosab. The Pasuk says again in Tehillim, it'll come like water in his inside and like shemen on his bones. So the Gemara says, we see from here that what? We see from here that washing is compared to anointing. Right? That's the pasuk does. So just like we just proved that anointing is an inui, right? Refraining from anointing is an inui. So to now the fact that David HaMelech compares washing to it indicates that what? Washing is an inui as well, or refraining from washing is an inui. Ve'ima kishtia, I don't understand, but maybe he's not talking about washing water. Maybe he's referring to what? Drinking water, dumya de shemen. No, because the Gemara's Governor Melch is comparing the water to the oil. Mas shemen me'avroi, just like the oil is applied on the outside of the body. Af mayim me'avroi, so to the water over there, talking about is on the outside of the body as well, i.e. drinking. V'ha tana ipcha kanosivla. But there's another tana that brought the opposite inference. This nan, minayim l'sicha shehi kishtia b'yom kippurim. Another tana said, where do we know that anointing with oil is just like drinking on Yom Kippur, i.e. they're both prohibited. Af al pi shein ra'i lo davar zecher lo davar. Even though there's no explicit biblical pasuk, there is a zecher. What's the zecher? Shene emar v'tavo k'mayim b'kirbo u'kishemen ba'atz mosav. Oh, so I'll say, what? So this kind of brings this pasuk to say, that David HaMelech is comparing drinking of water to anointing of oil. And just like drinking of water is usher, so to anointing does. So you see over here that according to this Tana, the water that's being referred to over here is not the water of washing, but the water of drinking. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rechitza Megufei Dikra Shmiyalei. But rather Rav Ashi says, you're right, washing, you learn that from the very pasuk itself, Dechsev, Visoch Lo Sachti. That Daniel says, and so Chlosachti indicates that what? I did not even wash. So Rabbi Osai, we see over here that the idea of Sicha, the idea of anointing with oil, the idea of Rechitza as forms of Inui, are both coming from Daniel. Mai Vani Basi Bidvarecha. What does it mean? Rabbi Osai, you know what? Actually, we're going to stop over here. We're going to stop over here because the rest of the daf is the pasuk from Daniel, which we'll analyze tomorrow. We'll say tomorrow we begin daf Yomi at 5:45. It's a long daf okay. Tomorrow. Amen. Sasha. All right, I can't.